still celebrating Easter today, so when I say Christ is risen, you say he is risen indeed. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Boy, you all sound great out there today. Hallelujah. Amen. I am so grateful to be with you. I'm your pastor, Reverend Esther Robinson. And as your pastor, I will be your servant today. And I love being your servant. And I am so grateful to you for being here and for worshiping together in the house of the Lord on this beautiful day. As every Sunday is a beautiful day, every day that God gives us
Amen.
Is a beautiful day. Now let us greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Good morning, Bradley. Where's Zachary? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Frank, peace be with you. How are you? Peace, Philip. Bill, peace be with
you.
Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
My name is Jamie Stowers. I'm a lay servant with the United Methodist Church, and so glad to be here today in front of you. You cannot hear me? All right, I will get it closer. My name is Jamie Stowers, and I'm a lay servant in the United Methodist Church, and so privileged to be standing here in front of you this morning. We have a few announcements. Our pastor will not be with us next Sunday. So Pastor LaVeronda, she don't have her last name, Barnes, will be preaching and leading the worship next week. There's also a few other things that won't happen this week that's on the back of your bulletin. There'll be no Thursday afternoon Bible study, no Thursday night Bible study, and no children's ministry this week either. So the only good thing that's going on, we'll have a trustees meeting. And I believe that's it. And keep in prayer for our block party coming up on April 30th, which we need all participation we can get out of our congregation to put a good foot out here for the community to see what we are and what we are about.
Amen. Donations of prizes. We need donations of Ready Whip, vegetable oil, the plastic swimming pools. That's for some of the games. There's a ton of things that we do need. And if you want to see me, Jamie, we can tell you what we need, but definitely manpower. We want everyone to help us. We want to see your presence there. If you're interested in telling stories, for some of the games, we would love that. Being a floater, cooking, helping cook.
When's the
Please.
Next meeting?
I'm sorry?
When's the next meeting?
The next meeting is Monday night, tomorrow night at 6:30 here at the church. Please come. The block party is on the 30th of April from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So, and we're not asking, you don't have to come out for the entire time. If you can just, even an hour of your time would be great.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, if you would, look at your inserts in your bulletin, and we're going to do the opening words. I will be reading the less bold, and you will read the bold. In times of great joy,
we give thanks and praise to you, O Christ.
In times of hardship and trial,
we pray for strength and endurance, O Christ.
In times of darkness and doubt,
we pray for hope and courage, O Christ.
In all of life's journey,
we know that Christ is with us. Christ has walked before us. Christ walks with us, and Christ will come again.
Amen.
If you would, please join me in singing, He is Exalted. Direct your attention to the screen.
Looks like it's just us, you guys. How you doing today? Okay, now I have to ask one of you to volunteer to keep your eyes open. All right, Bradley, come up here. Bradley's going to keep his eyes open. You're going to look out there. So that means, Zachary, you have to close your eyes. Can you close your eyes, Zachary, and not peek? Because what Bradley's going to do is I'm going to ask the congregation, I'm going to show them something, and they're going to copy me. All of you are going to copy me. And then Bradley gets to describe it to Zachary. You didn't know it was going to be so hard, did ya? Did ya? Okay, keep those eyes closed. Now, everybody do this. And do this. Are you keeping a good eye out there and seeing what they're doing? And do this. All right, put your hands down. Now try to tell Zachary what you just saw out there. And you can't show him, you have to tell him. Okay, you can open your eyes, Zachary. Their right nose. Now, if you know what he just said, I want you to do it. Tell him again so he can do it. He wants... Think you can try that, Zachary?
Okay. put that arm right there next to open on your ear. And then put the other arm on your ear. No, the other ear.
Yay! That wasn't easy, was it? That was hard to do. That was hard.
I don't know what it was.
This is what we did. We did this. Didn't you ever learn this?
No.
Never learned this. Oh, what kind of childhood do they have where they don't learn that? I don't know. Okay, thank you. Now we're going to talk to everybody and say, that's what it's like to be a witness to something. You see something, and the person who wasn't a witness, you have to describe it to them. You have to tell them about it so they believe you and they can follow you. And that's what we're called to be, is witnesses. We are witnesses to the life and teaching and love and death and resurrection of Christ. We are witnesses, even though we didn't see it for ourselves. How do we know it? How do we know it? We believe that it's true. We believe because the Bible has showed us these things. People we know and love, other teachers have taught us these things. And we have experienced the love of God in our lives. And our job is to tell others exactly what we know through Christ. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We thank you, O God, for your many good gifts and for your blessing upon us. Help us to be your witnesses in the world. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you. You can take this because I'm going to invite Felita and Frank Smith to come up here. They are wanting to become members of our congregation and ask all of you to turn to page 45. They've been among us now for how many months? Have you been?
Three months?
4 or 5 months? And they're coming to us by profession of faith. And I'm going to give the introduction, and then I will ask them the questions of faith, and then confirm their faith and their reception into the United Methodist Church. And that starts on page 45. They have both been baptized, and they have both committed their lives to Christ, and now are making their profession of faith here before you. The Church of God... The church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time. For the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, the edification of believers, and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which it alone supplies. If you will turn with me to the next page, I ask them these questions, and they just respond with, I do. Do you, in the presence of God and these people, renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism?
I do.
Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament?
I do.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church?
I do.
I do. And now... May the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And one last question is the vow that you take to be loyal to the United Methodist Church and Calvary. Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church as you find it here at Calvary and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
I do.
Thank you. Why don't you welcome Frank and Felita to the membership of our congregation? Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. We continue to serve and worship God this morning through the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Most holy and almighty God, we come to you in prayer today to thank you for your constant and abiding love, the goodness that you have bestowed upon us in our lives, for which we are grateful. And today, O God, we live out our gratefulness when we say yes to you and respond by our gifts of time, talent, offering, and presence. Through Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, choir. That was really great. I appreciate hearing that. Will you all join me in the prayer of confession, which is printed in your insert? As a congregation, we come to the Lord in confession as we get ready to partake of communion, the good gifts of God. Let us pray together. God of the wanderers, the outcasts, and the naysayers, you know that we have our doubts. You know that we struggle in our faith. Call us out of the darkness of doubt and help us to lean on each other for hope and perseverance. God of our ancestors, guide us on this journey of faith. In times of doubt, bring faithful people to encourage us. Help us to encourage others. Help us most of all to stick together in the darkest of times, for we know your light shines in the darkness. In the name of Jesus, our risen Savior, who loves and forgives us, we pray. Amen. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. The darkness is temporary, the light is eternal. Know that you are forgiven, renewed, and restored. Amen and amen.
You do have pew Bibles if you would like to use them, or you can follow along with the words on the screen. There's no replacement for the Bible there. We'll be reading from the Gospel of John, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, And the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you have forgiven the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put the finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples again were in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. These were the words of God for the people of God. Amen.
Thank you, Jamie. In today's lesson, we read of the man that the whole world knows as Doubting Thomas. A pastor by the name of Peter Marty pointed out that Thomas was not so much a doubter as he was an empiricist. And by that, I mean he was looking for empirical data, hard facts, measurable and quantifiable, upon which he could base his decision to believe or not in the resurrection. He's no different than most of us are about most things, most of the time. For us, most of the time, seeing is believing. In our story, Thomas was presented with the evidence. He was given the opportunity to examine the nail prints on Jesus' hands and the wound in Jesus' side. And convinced by the evidence, he responded with belief, "My Lord and my God," is his testimony. Now, you and I, of course, modern folk, all these many years later, are in the position of not having the opportunity to test and examine the evidence. And our text admits to this problem. In verse 29, Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? And yet, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Just like I was trying to show with Bradley and Zachary, trying to figure out how to talk about our faith in a believable way to those who don't believe can sometimes be kind of difficult for us. And that's mainly because our culture has separated fact from faith. It's given up on the idea that faith is based on real or true or factual things and has relegated religiosity to the category of personal preference or taste. I want a pastor who talks about a lesson that he used with his confirmation class. And I wished I had known about this when I was teaching confirmation. He comes into the first class with a jar of jelly beans, and he asks the class to guess how many jelly beans are in the jar. And then he writes down all their different answers on the chalkboard, and they make their estimates. And then next to that, they make a different list. He asks them what their favorite songs are, and so he makes a list of their favorite songs. So on one side, you have the estimates of the jelly beans, and on the other side, you have a list of their favorite songs. And then they count the jelly beans to measure it against the guesses and to see who was the closest as being right. Of course, the one who's closest as being right always gets a prize. And now, after they've determined who was the closest to being right, he then turns to the other list and says, and which one of these is the closest to being right? And the students all say, oh, no, there's no right answer. A person's favorite song is purely a matter of taste and circumstance or personal preference. It's not the same as the jelly beans. So then he says, aha, okay, answer me this. When you decide what to believe about God, is that more like guessing the number of beans or more like choosing your favorite song? Which is it? And the answer, always, from teenagers all the way to adults, is the same. Choosing one's faith is like choosing a favorite song, they said. We have separated fact from faith because our culture has limited facts to things which can only be discerned empirically or scientifically or historically, through experimentation and proof. And we are skeptical of those things, like the resurrection, which resist such proof. What we can actually prove about Jesus through the rules of history or scientific investigation is limited. This is the sum knowledge of what we know historically about Jesus. The best we can say, almost with 100% certainty, not quite, is that a man named Jesus lived and taught and was crucified by the Roman government of Jerusalem, and that after his death, many of his followers reported that the tomb was empty and that they had seen him alive. And that's it. That's what can be reported factually about Jesus' life. But simply knowing the facts doesn't lead to faith. We know that, don't we? At the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, we find this short verse. The 11 disciples have gone up to the mountain to see Jesus for the last time. And then comes this verse in Matthew 29. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Amazing. They had left their jobs to follow him, had spent 2 or 3 years with him and heard him preach and witnessed his miracles and saw the crucifixion and experienced the resurrection and spent several days and weeks with the risen Lord in a variety of places, and yet it still says some doubted. So that means to me that seeing is not always believing. Something besides an informed and reasonable decision is going on. Some who saw the risen Christ still doubt it, while others who have never seen him believe fervently. What is to explain that difference? Well, I don't believe that the problem is a lack of information. I think our hesitancy or our doubt is more a product of what we do know than what we don't know. I don't know if you know that Mark Twain said this, but he said, you know, some people worry about the parts of the Bible that they don't understand. Me, I worry about the parts of the Bible I do understand, he says. We know that to commit our life to Christ is to commit ourselves to following him wherever it might lead. We know that to commit ourselves to following Christ takes a lot of decisions out of our hands and puts them in the hands of God. And to put our decisions into the hands of God is to risk being called to do things we would personally rather not do. We know that the one calling us got crucified. Got executed in the cruelest way possible. We know that the one calling us revealed himself by showing his wounds and suffering for the world, and that we will be called upon to show our love for the world by being wounded and suffering for those the world has hurt and rejected. We know what it means to believe in Jesus. Our hesitancy to believe may be rooted in our hesitancy to shoulder the cross. A couple of years ago, there was a wedding at a small town local Baptist church, and it had been an all-day mission conference during the day, and the family had about a couple hours to get ready for the wedding and to take all the mission things down and to decorate and put up for the wedding. And it was only after the wedding ceremony that the bride noticed that one glaring mistake in their preparations. They had neglected to take down one of the banners, and across the front wall was a banner which read, "Worth the risk." Worth the risk. And that's the question for us today. Do we consider the joys of following Christ worth the risk? The witnesses of Christians for 2,000 years, from Doubting Thomas to Mother Teresa, is yes. 1,000 times yes. Can we this day look at Christ's wounds and hear him calling us to follow him in love and service to the world? And with Thomas, fall on our knees and cry out, "My Lord and my God." Amen and amen. Every time we come to the table of the Lord, we are invited to say yes again. And it is something that we need to say yes again every day. Most of things that are worthwhile in life, you have to do that. You have to decide each and every day whether you want to stay married to your spouse, your partner. You have to decide each and every day, do you want to follow the way Christ leads? And I invite you to make that decision today, to make your decision to follow Christ, whether it's for the first time or the 1,000th time. You are invited, and God has offered all the opportunity to partake in his good gifts. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he had a meal with his friends, and he sat down and he took a piece of bread and he broke it and he said, "Friends, this is my body given for you. I want you to remember me when you eat this. He also took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is my cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you do it in remembrance of me, and be thankful." God's good gifts are calling you to say yes today. I invite first the choir to come, and then the ushers will guide you to come and kneel at the pews, and the choir will come first, and then we will follow with the congregation. Will you come to the table of the Lord?
If you would all stand as you are able, and let's join together in singing from our hymnal number 177. He is Lord.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the grave, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Let's sing that one more time. Sing it like you mean it, church. Come on.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that
the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in peace.